Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
So glad to see everyone here this morning. We're starting a brand new series this morning, and it's called Pursue what matters the most in life. You know, there's so many distractions in life today, right? I'm going to talk about pursuing what matters most. You know, and I think what really matters most is this thing called love. Love is a big word. I'm going to delve a little bit into this thing. We're going to talk about love. But so can you just bow your heads and just agree with me this morning? Thank you, Father, for the Word of God. Every time your Word is spoken, it has power. That when we hear it and we believe it, it has the power to set us free, power to release us into our destiny, our purposes, into the blessing of God, in a place where we give honor and glory back to you. So, Father, open up our ears, our hearts, our minds to hear the Word of God, to believe it, receive it, and then to put it into action. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you for anointing my lips to speak it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about being all in for God, and particularly in this area, all in love. Okay, so let me take you back. We're talking about all in love. Let me take you a story. Thank you, sweetie. What would you do without a good wife, right? Hold on one second. Okay, I can talk better now. I'm going to take you back to a story. This is in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Daniel. Daniel is considered to be a prophet. So here's Daniel. Daniel, it's in Daniel chapter 2. And something happens. Something happens to this king. And he's a Babylonian king. And he is the king of the most powerful kingdom in the world at that time. And he has a dream. We'll go to that next slide there, Ezra. And Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And in this dream, he sees this incredible statue. And it's a huge, dazzling, amazing-looking statue made of different materials. You know, the head of gold, arms and chest of silver, thighs of bronze, feet of iron, legs of iron and feet of a mixture. Now, in this dream, he sees this amazing figure, and as he's watching this statue, and he's wondering, what's the statue all about? All of a sudden, there's this rock that comes out of nowhere. We'll go to the next slide. And it just comes out of nowhere, and it just smashes the feet of the clay of the statue. Now, he's wondering, he wakes up, he's wondering, what does this dream mean? What's it all about? And so he calls his sorcerers, enchanters, fortune tellers together, and he tells them to interpret this dream. But not only to interpret, not just to interpret the dream, what does he ask them to do? Tell me what dream I had. So here's these guys, you tell us the dream, then we'll tell you the interpretation. He said, you guys are just stalling for time. You guys are just fakes. And if you don't tell me what my dream was and the interpretation, I'm going to end your lives right here. I'm going to cut your body up into pieces. This guy was ruthless. I'm going to burn down your homes. Tell me. And they said, we can't do it. So he was so enraged. He says, okay, all you guys, you're done for. You're going to get executed. So he gets this commander. His name is Arioch. He said, "What? Round up all the enchanters, sorcerers, wise men in Babylon and call them together because I'm going to execute them." And so Arioch goes to Daniel, and Daniel, along with his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they are considered to be wise men. And so the commander tells them what's happening, and Daniel says, "Whoa, wait a minute. Don't let that happen." He says, "I serve a God who not only gives dreams, he also interprets dreams. So don't do it." He says, give us a little bit of time that very night. Daniel has a dream. And in that dream, God gives him not only the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, but also the interpretation. So he goes to the king. He says, listen, king, I can do that. I can interpret this dream for you. I can tell you what it was. I can tell you what it means. And he says, but listen, it's not me. It's my God in heaven. He's the one who tells me the dream, and he's the one who gives you the interpretation. So he tells him. He says, you know, this dream represents the statue, represents kingdoms, earthly kingdoms. He says, that head of gold, you're that kingdom. You're the greatest of all kings of all the earth. You're the great one. But after you will come another kingdom. And it's a little bit weaker. It's made out of silver, arms and chest of silver, which represent the kingdom that will come after him. If you look back in history now, it's the prophetic. It was prophetic. It was the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great. And then there would come another kingdom, a little bit weaker than that, of bronze, which was the Medo-Persian kingdom, like King Xerxes and King Cyrus. If you read the Bible, they play a huge part in the history of God's people, right? And then the next kingdom that would come after them was the Roman Empire. And then the kingdom after that would be a weaker kingdom, a divided kingdom of iron and clay. And it was the time of Jesus Christ. And so he tells them what this dream is all about. And he says they represent kingdoms of man on earth. And then he says in verse 44, Daniel 2, verse 44, but throughout the history of these kingdoms, the God of heaven will be building a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will this kingdom ever fall under the domination of another. In the end, it will crush the other kingdoms and finish them off and come through it all, standing strong and eternal. It will be like the stone cut from the mountain by the invisible hand that crushed the iron, the bronze, the ceramic, the silver, and the gold. Jesus is the rock. Amen? Jesus is the rock cut out of God's mighty mountain. Jesus came to earth. And when Jesus came to earth, he came to start a revolution. A kingdom revolution. A revolution that was spawned by love. Spawned, driven by the love of the Father, by the love of God. Amen? And this love was a love that would reach all people and would embrace all peoples on earth. This love would be a love that would cross every single barrier, every single line, every single division that was set up. This love crossed geographical barriers. The love of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to every single nation today. There is no nation cannot withstand the powerful assault of the love of God reaching people today. Amen? Every nation, every continent, every nation, every city, every country, right? Every town, every people. If this love crosses every cultural barrier, every tribe, every tongue, every language. Amen? This love crosses every seclusion barrier. It is radically inclusive. It includes every single human being. Right? Everyone, everywhere is welcome into the kingdom of God. Amen? No cliques, always room for more people in his house, in his church. Right? And it crosses condemnation barriers. His blood and his grace extends to every single sin that we will ever commit. There's no sin that could stand up against us and God's love. Amen? And this love crosses every age barrier. Every man, woman, child, young, old. Because everybody needs Jesus. Amen? Everybody needs Jesus. It's an all-in love. Heart and soul. His love crosses all boundaries, barriers, lines, limits. And that's what we're going to talk about. All in love. But now I want to take you to the book of Revelation where Jesus talks to a church in Ephesus. And he says these words to his church. Revelation 2 verse 1. He says to John, the gospel, who's writing the book of Revelation. He's given inspiration by the Holy Spirit. And John writes the words of Jesus, where Jesus says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know all the things that you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. And I know you don't tolerate evil people. He's talking about the church here, right? He says, you have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered that they are liars. You have patiently suffered with me without quitting. But I have this one complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. You know, there's so much meaning in these words of Jesus, but one particular thing really stands out, and it's verse 4 on your PowerPoint. That's, if you don't repent, like you don't love me, you don't love me, or you don't love each other as you did at first. That's what really stands out to me when I read that portion of scripture this morning. See, the reality is this, that you can lose your love for Jesus. You can lose your first love. You know, you can get into the place where you can fall into this sin of doubt and sin of believing in the promises of God. And the reality is, really, that you can forget all that Jesus really means to you. Isn't that right? And I believe that this is why the book of Hebrews is in the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2, the writer of Hebrews exhorts us, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and what? Finished. Are you finished yet? No. This race that we're in a race. We're in a journey, right? Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. Disappointments, setbacks, failures, missed opportunities. And now he's here in the place of honor right alongside God. Today we're talking about pursue what really matters. We're pursuing about an all-in love. All-in love. Heart and soul for Jesus. Can I sit back and say, listen, I'm preaching today, but I'm preaching to me too as well as you, amen? I'm preaching to myself today. I want to tell you one of my favorite stories. And if you heard this before, you know, enjoy it again. Here's the way the story goes. One day, there was this young disciple of Jesus Christ. He got saved. He's been saved for about, you know, a little over a year. And he just wants everything from God. He just wants everything that God has for him. He just wanted to do whatever he can do for God, to serve God in appreciation of what Jesus did for him. He's so excited. And then he hears about this old, elderly Christian guy who never lost his first love for Jesus. He says, I got to go talk to that guy. So he sets it up and he goes to meet this old guy who's sitting in a chair, and his old hound dog is sprawled out in front of him, and he's sitting there and he's just enjoying the sunset. And he comes to this man, this old Christian man, and he asks him this question, why is it, sir, that most Christians zealously chase after God during the first year or two after their conversion, but then they fall into this complacent ritual of going to church maybe just once or twice a month? And in the end, they don't look any different than their neighbors who aren't even Christians. He says, you're not like that. You pursued God all these years, and you had your passion is just as strong when you first started out. Why is that? What makes you different from all those people? And so the old man smiles, and he replies, "Let me tell you a story." He says, "One day I was sitting here enjoying the sunset like this morning. My old hound dog sprawled out in front of me, and suddenly this rabbit, this big white rabbit, comes running right in front of us." He says, "My dog, he just got up, he saw that rabbit, and he tore out after it. He started barking after that rabbit, and he was chasing that rabbit upstream, over across streams, you know, up, down embankments, and then the other dogs heard him barking, so they all joined in the fray. And it was an amazing sight, this pack of dogs, you know, running across streams, through thorns and thickets, and just going for it, barking away. It was amazing. But gradually, one by one, those dogs all dropped out of the race. They got tired of the pursuit. They got discouraged and frustrated in the chase, until finally, only my dog was still hotly pursuing that rabbit. And then the old man smiled and said, "Young man, that's the point of the story." He says, in this story is the answer to your question. So the young man sits there in silence a bit, and he said, "I don't get it. Like, I don't get it. What's the connection between a rabbit chase and the quest for God?" And the old man says, "That's not the right question. The question you need to be asking is this: why did all the other dogs quit the chase? And why was it that my old hound dog was the only one who kept hotly pursuing that rabbit?" He says, "The answer, young man, is this: because my dog saw the rabbit." Thank you. Thank you. Unless you see the prey, you will give up the chase. Unless you see and keep your eyes on the prey, the chase will just be too difficult. You will lack the passion and determination necessary to keep up the chase. Fix your eyes on Jesus and keep them on Jesus, because he's the author, he's the beginner, and he's the finisher of your faith. Amen? At City Light Church here, we believe it's not just receiving Jesus. You just accept him. That's not all there is to the Christian life. You've got to follow Jesus. You've got to make some steps, practical steps, right? One of the things that we do offer people is the growth track. City Light Growth Track is so important. And in that growth track, there's a part of that growth track called DISC. D-I-S-K, right? I can't even spell this morning. D-I-S-C. Yeah. Right, there we go. And it's all about finding out who you are, what your personality is, what your traits are, so that you can more successfully relate to people, because that's what life is all about, relating to people, right, as well as God. And is one, you know, there's one thing I realized, that if you're going to understand people, first you have to understand yourself, right? Who you are, how the way you are. And if you, and I think that's really important. And I realized as I went through that DISC test, I thought, well, that's who I am. You know, I realized that my personality is that I'm basically a one gear, like Alan Rancier rides a bike, and how many gears does Alan have? He's gone right now. He took a gear or something, right? But anyway, how many gears does Alan have, right? I mean, I'm a one. Alan, how many gears on your bike do you have? 22. 22 gears, right? And you use all 22 gears, right? Every day, all right. See, I'm not a 22-gear guy. I'm a one-gear guy. Really, you know? I like really one gear. I'm a one gear, you know, I don't know what else. But, you know, if I'm going to do something, well, then I'm going to do it. But if I don't want to do something, listen, it's not going to get done, right? I've also realized that in my personality, my abilities, there are just some things that I'm not good at, like plumbing and electrical work around the house, right? I did some electrical work on my bathroom downstairs. My older brother, who's a master electrician, he said, whoa, I'm amazed you're still alive. I'm an accident ready to happen, right? So, but I want to say this, but if I decide to do something, then it's going to be all the way. It's going to be all the way. You know, when the NHL hockey season started, I was a red-hot Oilers fan. I had great hopes for the Oilers. I was a die-hard Oilers. Well, they never even made the playoffs, right? But I want to tell you, I'm still a die-hard Oilers fan. I'm looking for the next season now, right? New management, new owners, or new coach. Everything's going to be different. I'm still an Oilers fan. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Somebody has compassion for me. I'm all in. I'm all in, right? You know, Karen and we've been pastoring for just about 30 years now. 30 years. Can you imagine that? You know what the stats say? I just recently read stats. They said 60 to 80% of pastors will quit the pastorate and the ministry within 10 years. They're just not able to do it. I mean, within 10 years. But, you know, we've persevered despite the adversities, right? You know, when we first started in the ministry, someone said to us, hey, I heard the pastor say something about you guys, something really good. I said, what is it? He said, when I ask Karen and Doug to do something, I know it's going to get done, right? You know, and I think that all-in attitude, it's so essential in everything that we do. So we put our heart and mind into what we did. And I tell you, we still do today. We're still all in, right? And God wants us to be all in every area of our life. We heard the command, if you love my sheep, if you love me, then feed my sheep, right? And I say this, living an all-in heart and soul life doesn't seem natural in our world today. Rather, it's like, do the least amount that you can do in the least amount of time. And I see that attitude. It permeates our society. Not in everybody, but in a lot of people. You know what the formula for a great life and success is? Success equals all in. Success equals all in. Success equals all in love. Amen? It's all in. God's love. Point number one, God's love. God's love for you and me, guess what it is? It's all in. It's all in. And I realize that more than ever, there's only one way that we're supposed to live for Jesus. And it's not the way the Ephesians lived for Jesus, right? Don't be like the Ephesians who lost their love for God and they lost their love for each other. You know, Jesus talks about it in Matthew 22, 34. You know, and Matthew says, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they called a meeting to discuss how to trap Jesus. They're always trying to trap him. They couldn't trap him, right? Then one of them, a religious scholar, posed this question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Jesus answered him, love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you. This is the great and supreme commandment, and the second is like an importance. Another version says, a second is equally important. You must love your friend. Another version says, you must love your neighbor in the same way you love yourself. Contained within these commandments to love, you will find all the meaning of the law and the prophets. Every single law, rule, regulation in the Old Testament and what we hear even mentioned in the New Testament, all boils down to this one, two, royal law of love. Love God, you love people. Amen? Love for God, heart and soul. Love for people, heart and soul. Point number two, everything hangs on these two things. Think about it. Think about marriage. Now I think about marriage. There's only one way to live in a marriage, right? There's only one way. It's got to be all in. It can't be 80%. You can't have a marriage where you're 80% committed, 60, 50, 40, 30, 20. The only way it can work if it's 100%, right? 100% fully faithful in your relationship with each other, fully submitted to each other, fully committed to each other. That's the only way a marriage is really going to work. Amen? Amen? It has to be that way. That's the way that God wanted it to be. And that's the way it works. Fully committed. Think about the vows. You marrieds right now, think about the vows that you made. Well, I'm going to love you. I'm going to be with you until we have that big blow up, until, you know, things get so rough. Then I'm gone. I'm out of here, right? I'm okay as well. We're doing financially. You don't spend the money, woman, right? I'm there with you, but as soon as you go over the line, I'm gone. What vow did you make? I'm going to love you for better, for richer, for until death do we what? Part. We got to have that incorporated into our marriages. I say, you know, the best example of marriage is the example in the Bible in Ephesians 5:25, which says, for husbands, this means love your wives. Wives, you're happy this morning, aren't you? I'm preaching, right? Just as Christ loved the church and he gave up his life for her. I always tell people, don't you marry somebody who's not willing to give up his life for you. If he's willing to give up your life for you, go for that guy. Amen? Thank you. Thank you. At least somebody agrees, right? If we husbands pursued our lives now like we did before, if we dated our wives now like we used to, right? If we went back and loved each other like we used to, what kind of marriages would we have today? Amen? We need to go back to our first love, right? I say this, a good wife is a gift from the Lord. A good wife, let's look at it. A good wife puts balance into your life. It's not good. Janina Friesen's father had this on Facebook. A good wife brings balance to your life. Notice it's got no front tire there, right? Adds balance to your life. A good wife is great. We've been married for how long? How many? 36 years almost. You know, and I'm thinking, I'm so glad I am married. You know, I'm so much healthier, stronger, you know, vibrant a person because my wife is in my life. She literally helps me to eat right and live right, and she's encouraging. I mean, thank you, good wife, right? Amen. Amen. Let's think of thanks to Karen. God gave me an awesome gift. Amen. So, you know, God puts this all in us. We just got to find it. You know, if your marriage is not there, you know, you can find it again. Amen? Okay, next one. Think about finances. You can hang your finances on this. And just look at the scripture and see how much seeking God and prosperity are intertwined together. It's unreal. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13. This is Old Testament, but here's what God says. If you carefully obey the commands I'm giving you today, and if you what? If you love the Lord your God and you serve him with how? Heart and soul, with all your heart and soul. If you're really into God, then he will send the rains in the proper seasons, the early and the late rains, so that you can bring in your harvest of grain, new wine, and olive oil. He will give you lush pasture land for your livestock, and you yourselves will have all you want to eat. Amen. But then he says in verse 6, but be careful. Don't let your heart be deceived so that you turn away from the Lord and serve and you worship other gods. If you do, the Lord's anger will burn against you. We have grace today, right? But, you know, but then it was like, either obey or watch out. We can repent today. We say, God, forgive us. No, his grace comes and his mercy comes, right? So Jesus puts it this way in Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. How? Above what? Above what? All else. Seek God. Live righteously. Seek the kingdom of God, the rule and the reign of Jesus in your life, and seek him personally as your Lord and your Savior, and he will give you everything that you need in this life. The greatest gift that Jesus gave was a gift of himself. The Holy Spirit is a gift. He puts the Holy Spirit within you, right? And the Holy Spirit has the power to work in us, inward, upward, and outward in our lives. And I said the quality of the inward journey of the Holy Spirit in your life will determine the quality of your upward and your outward life and journey and your walk with God. Amen? Let the Holy Spirit. Romans 5, how do you get the love of God in your heart? Get Jesus in your heart, right? Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Oh, I say more of your spirit, Lord. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 4, talks about a young man named Uzziah. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem for how many years? 52 years. One of the longest standing reign of any king. Right? 52 years. But here's the key. Verse 5, he sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. A God-first life is not an option. Amen? And a half-hearted worship life is not an option either. Point C, think about worship. Think about worship. I say, listen, don't minimize your worship. Don't look at worship as something you just got to get through or something you come late to church for. Amen? Here's, you know, David said in Psalm 100, and Karen was, my wife was praying this psalm. David said, when it comes to worshiping God, Psalm 100 verse 1, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his. We are his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. And then in verse 4, when we connect with God, what should we do? We should enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. God never blesses ingratitude, right? Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Verse 5, for the Lord is what? He's good. Wow, he is so, so good. Sometimes we don't even notice how good he is. We will know how good he is when we stand before him. And what else? He is good and is what? His love endures forever. It never stops. It's unstoppable. It's relentless. You know, it continues on forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Psalm 22, verse 1, it was David who said, I was glad when he said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And you notice, he didn't say, I was sad when somebody told me I had to go to church. I know people, they get mad when you tell them you should be in church. But David said, I was glad when he said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Because there I get to worship my God, my King. Amen? Amen. Tell you one more story. This story of a group of 30-year-olds, guys and girls, 30-year-olds, and they had a reunion, and they were discussing where to go for dinner. They said, we should celebrate. We should go to dinner. And one of them said, hey, why don't we go to that restaurant? It's called Holy Embers Restaurant. Let's go to Holy Embers. And they said, yeah. And we should go there because all the waitresses and the waiters are young and beautiful. We should go there. And they all agreed. And they went. 30 years old. 15 years later, 45 years of age, and they decided to do the same thing. Let's celebrate. Let's go to the restaurant. Where should we go? Somebody says, hey, why don't we go to Holy Embers Restaurant? Because the food selection and the drink selection are great. We should go because the food is great. And they all agreed, right? 15 years later, how old are they now? 60 years old. They said, we got to celebrate. We're 60 years old. Where should we go for dinner? And somebody suggested Holy Embers Restaurant. And they said, yeah, we should go there because we can have peace and quiet. And it's smoke-free. And they all agreed, and they went. 15 years later, how old are they now? 75 years old. They said, we got to celebrate, 75. Where should we go for dinner? And somebody suggested Holy Embers Restaurant because it was physically accessible and there was even an elevator there. And they all agreed. And then 15 years later, at 90 years of age, one more time, they said, let's celebrate. Where are we going to go? And somebody suggested, let's go to Holy Embers Restaurant because we've never been there before. And they all agreed. You know, this story illustrates our tendency to forget about the bedrock truths of our spiritual lives. That we tend to forget about God's covenant love towards us. God never forgets you. He never forgets us. He never forgets to bless. He never forgets to redeem. He never forgets to be good to us. Amen? You know? God is so good. He never changes. You know, after all these years, I can look back, you know, and I'm one of the older ones in the crowd today, right? I can look back after all these years, and I could say about myself, I really am an all-in person when it comes towards God. You know, I'm all in. I'm heart and soul for my Savior, my Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm all in. I'm heart and soul for His church. The church He gave His life for her. Life for it. And the one I'm willing to give my life for. Amen? I'm heart and soul. I'm heart and soul for my wife. I mean, she's got me for life. And she can't get rid of me. Just like Dan can't get rid of Suzanne, right? Suzanne agrees. They're so good. They're such a great couple. God is so good. You know, I believe that everything in this life hangs on the all in. Everything. It's all about love for Jesus. It's all about love for other people. Amen. That's what this life amounts to. Amen. Jesus said, listen, either be hot or cold. It's all or nothing, saints. It's all or nothing, right? Amen. I love what Francis Chan said here. Francis Chan said, do you know that nothing you do in this life will matter unless it's about loving God and loving people that He has made? Nothing is really going to matter in the end. It's all about loving God, loving people. Last point, God is all in towards you. Romans 5 verse 8. Paul said, but God showed His great love for us by sending Jesus to die for us while we were still sinners, while we were living like hell, while we were turning our back on God, while you were using His name as a swear word, His love and His mercy was given to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? 1 John 4 verse 9. John says, God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us And he sent his son as a sacrifice to take away all our sins. Amen? We're God's children. We are God's children. And he loves us with an uncaused love. What kind of love that is that? You know, it's everlasting. It never ends. It's relentless. It's unstoppable. It continues. It's still continuing. You just can't get away from his love. You know, and more than that, it's extravagant, relentless, uninfluenced, overwhelming, astounding, immeasurable. It's love. Listen, we are loved people. Amen? And what happens when you're loved? Next PowerPoint. Love people do what? They love people. In other words, the closer I get to Jesus, the closer I get to Jesus, the more I experience of Jesus. And the more I experience Jesus, the more his love grows in me. And the more his love grows in me, the more that love comes out of me in radical and visible expressions of love to other people. Do you agree with that? Real life expression to other people. So, question. Do you want to love your spouse more? And then get closer to Jesus. Amen? Right? Do you want to love your neighbor more? Get closer to Jesus. How about your kids? Do you want to love your kids more? Then get closer to the heart of God. Right? Do you want to make a difference in your life? Then get closer to the one who gave his life for the world. And let him love you. Amen? Let God love you. Sometimes that's our biggest problem. He wants to love us, but we just won't let him love us. Right? John 15:13 says, there is no greater love than one lay down one's life for one's friends. And I say his love was so strong. It was so relentless, so unstoppable, that he went to the cross for us. Amen? Jesus. Amen? So, let's pursue. What should we be pursuing? We should be pursuing Jesus and pursuing his love. Amen? Amen. I said there's two kinds of people. Those who would need to accept Jesus and see him for the first time, and then there are those who need to go back to their first love for Jesus. And I think maybe that's me. Maybe that's you today. So let's pray. Let's pray. Will you bow your heads and let's pray. Father in heaven, author of love, Father in heaven, Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for loving us, even when we never deserved it, even when we were still sinners walking away from you. Your love, your kindness brought us to a place of repentance and belief in you. You've given us your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, ignite an unquenchable flame, a passion, even if it starts as a tiny spark again in our life. Let it burst into a flame, this incredible, uncontrollable love for Jesus, and the love that results also from the love for people. Lord, may we have this sense that, God, we're so important to you. I want to tell you, no matter who you are, that today Jesus loves you so much. So much. And you just need you to open up your heart and say, God, I don't even know how to receive your love. But I believe that if you say, God, I'm just open. God wants you to show you his goodness. Now. Not when you go to heaven, but now in the land of the living. Amen? So Father, help us to understand this love more deeply. Father, may this love that you have for me, may this love that you have for us literally overflow and let it touch other people. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone will agree and say, amen. Just keep your heads bowed just for a minute. I say, maybe you're here and maybe you've never experienced this love of the Savior whose arms right now, it's open wide to receive you. And God is saying, you can come to him. You can believe him. You know, you need to start a relationship. And, you know, a relationship starts with just being open and say, I want to know you. And God is saying right now, I want you to know me, and I want to know you. And you can start a relationship with me right now. Today, you know, you can repent of your sins. If anything that holds you back from believing and receiving God, God says, you know, I paid for it all with the shedding of the blood of my son. Today, you can repent of your sins. You can invite Christ into your heart. And you can begin a brand new life. Just by saying, and it all starts with a prayer. Not an insignificant prayer, a very important decision. Amen? Or maybe you're here right now, and maybe one time you did make a decision for Christ, but maybe you fell back into sin and you're far away from God and you don't feel His love. You know, today you can do the same thing. You can just confess your sins and you can be free to walk in a newness and a closeness to Jesus. So if that's you, if you want a new start or you want to give your heart back to Jesus, will you repeat this prayer after me? You just say to God, to the Father, say to Jesus, Father God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for proving it to me by dying on the cross to pay for my sins. Today and now, I turn from my old way of life and I give you my heart. Please forgive me of all my sins. Jesus, I believe in you and I receive you into my heart today to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen.